Seekers? Oh no, it's going to be one of those nights. It's about 7 past the hour. Bush Day on Capitol Hill, True Speakers, and it's not over yet. A busy day, I should say. And it's not over yet. As we speak, the House is deliberating on that infamous bill to continue funding Bush's illegal war in Iraq and, of course, the occupation, but with a plan for troop withdrawal. As you know, Bush has vowed to veto it, of course, because it means he has to stop killing people and might not get to exploit all the oil from the ground. Poor Raisin Brain. Oh, my God. Also in Congress, the Democrats are issuing subpoenas and holding hearings faster than Dana Too Much Cappuccino Perino can shoot them down. It's a glorious thing to behold, is it not, at last? And several prominent Americans are falling in with Kucinich's call to impeach Cheney. First, there was a gathering today on the Capitol steps, and we'll hear from one of the members of that delegation, Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson, I believe, in our second hour tonight. So stick around. A lot of weirdness going on. Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Yeah. Well, let's hope that it's weirdness in the right direction. I like the fact that subpoenas are now being drawn up for, or have been served, perhaps, on Condoleezza Rice, the shoe lady, and on the Republican National Committee to bring their respective body parts into the hearing room in front of Henry Waxman and explain what the hell has been going on. This was the reason it was so critically important to get Democratic majorities in both the House and the Senate. Whether you like Democrats or not, for the most part, they irritate me, not because I don't like them. I am one. But I hate the ease with which the Democrats go along and get along. But this is part of the necessary steps to end this corrupt, filthy regime. The issuing of subpoenas. The bringing people in to testify, whether they want to or not. And Monica Goodling, I believe, has been granted immunity from prosecution now. And the committee that's going to bring her in has voted overwhelmingly, more than the two-thirds necessary. That means a lot of Republicans are going along with this, to have her testify before Congress. Immunized testimony, nothing she says can be used against her, sort of like when Oliver North was immunized, so he could sit there and chat about his murderous activities in Central America. I don't think Monica Goodling has quite the blood-soaked britches that Oliver North did, but it'll be interesting to see what Miss Goodling will say now. Got a couple of emails here. Well, one email. This is from AEB, who says, Mike, when the Virginia Tech killer's sister made the message of regret from the family, she was identified as a member of the Iraq team at the State Department. Now, I didn't know that. A.E. writes, my understanding is that all the young people on the State Department's Iraq team had to say they were conservative Christians who voted for Bush in order to be hired. Contrary to what some conservative talk show hosts have said, doesn't his sister's position with the State Department suggest strongly that the shooter came from a conservative Christian family? And the only reason that matters is, as A.E. points out, the right-wingers, especially the pig Limbaugh, who insisted that this mentally deranged young man must have been a liberal. It's called preemptive strike. Limbaugh doesn't understand anything about military service, of course, but he does understand the terms when they're applied to politics. To settle a lawsuit, the Department of Veterans Affairs has agreed to add the Wiccan pentacle to a list of approved religious symbols that it will engrave on veterans' headstones. How about that? How about that? The settlement was announced Monday by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, which represented the plaintiffs in this case. There's something like, according to the Pentagon, there are 1,800 Wiccans in the armed forces, which means probably there are 10 times that. But anyway, until now, the Veterans Affairs Department had approved 38 different religious symbols to indicate the faith of killed service members on memorials, whether they're at no matter where they are, Arlington Cemetery, any national cemetery. And it normally takes just a few months for a petition by a faith group to win the Veterans Department's approval. But the effort on behalf of the Wiccan symbol took 10 years and a lawsuit. Well, no surprise there, right? The group attributed the delay to religious discrimination. As you know, most Americans, if not, well, most Americans don't consider Wicca a religion. And most Americans truly believe that Wiccans are devil worshippers. The Reverend Barry Lynn, who's the executive director of Americans United, said at a news conference the other day, quote, "The Wiccan families we represented were in no way asking for special treatment. They wanted precisely the same treatment that dozens of other religions already had received from the department, an acknowledgement that their spiritual beliefs were on a par with those of everyone else," end quote. Doesn't that sound very much like a gay soldier who might say, you know, I'm not asking for any kind of special treatment. All I'm asking for is the right, regardless of my sexual orientation, to join the military and go smash things and kill people, which is what the military does. That's all I'm asking. I just want to get in on the action. No big deal. Or I want to go to, maybe I don't want to get in on that action. Maybe I just want to join the military and get the bonus check and go to school and learn how to be a helicopter pilot. Whatever. But doesn't the argument for recognizing Wicca as a religion parallel the argument for recognizing gay people as human? Jesus! Oh, this just drives me nuts. But I digress. In reviewing 30,000 pages of documents from Veterans Affairs regarding this lawsuit, Americans United for Separation of Church and State said it found email and memoranda referring to negative comments Bush made about Wicca in an interview with Good Morning America in 1999 when he was governor of Texas. The interview had to do with a controversy at that time about Wiccan soldiers being allowed to worship at Fort Hood, Texas. And I remember that story. And they were allowed to. You know, the commandant or whatever at Fort Hood, Texas, said, go ahead. You know, I couldn't care less. At the time, Bush said, according to a transcript, "I don't think witchcraft is a religion." "I would hope the military officials would take a second look at the decision they made. Witchcraft ain't no religion." God. Anyway, so if you are a Wiccan and it comes time for your burial, whether as a result of friendly fire, fratricide, action in a war zone, or just because you get old and die after having served in the military, you can now have the pentagram, the five-pointed star, placed on your tomb marker. My God, we've come a long way in 800 years, haven't we? Wow. Speaking of very, very old things, this Friday, tomorrow, this is from, a Friday, a day after tomorrow, this is from Catherine in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She writes, "This Friday the 27th, they are bringing Dick Cheney's crate of dirt here to Tulsa so he can be unearthed for an Inhofe benefit. Myself, Tulsa Truth, and protesters will be there to let him know what we think of him. Now, I know he won't dare go into the light and actually see what our message is, so most of it will be for the onlookers. We will be passing out information that these people here don't get a chance to hear about. and have them sign impeachment petitions. For the fun of it, do you have any suggestions for a banner or poster I could make to welcome him? Your listener, Catherine, and her last name, Tulsa. P.S. Not all of us are crazy here in Oklahoma. All right, so I toss it out to you, Truth Seekers. If you can come up with a banner or a poster that Catherine can make tomorrow so that Friday she can welcome Cheney to Tulsa, email it to me. Keep it short and simple and to the point, and I'll read them on the air if they're not too obscene.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Okay, we got a couple of emails here. I hope you're listening, Catherine. This one is from Celia. Go F asterisk K yourself. Cheney. F asterisk asterisk. Well, you try saying it. Okay, that was from Celia. You guys. No, I can't do that one, Claude. I'm sorry. Thanks, Claude. All right, here's another one. How about Cheney burn in hell? This is from Eroke. What do you think, Mike? I like it. It just kind of pops, doesn't it? And here's one. Here's another one for you, Catherine. Let's see. It says, at what point does greed become treason? All right. Write these down. Oh, here's another one. Cheney, go F yourself. One more. This is from Trey. Idea borrowed from the show that precedes yours on Sirius Radio, Jim Ward on the Stephanie Miller Show. Sieg Heil is a German phrase which literally means hail to victory. During the Nazi era, it was common chant at political rallies. Was it? I'll be damned, I didn't know that. impeach the attack dog Cheney now. All right, well, you see where these are going, right, Catherine? We'll have some more for you. We really will. Tonight, in certain parts of the country, not here in Atlanta, we don't see this until Sunday, the most powerful indictment, according to editor and publisher, the most powerful indictment of the news media for falling down in its duties in the run-up to the war in Iraq will appear on PBS. It's a 90-minute, as a matter of fact, it's probably already begun. Called Buying the War, and it remarks the return of Bill Moyers Journal. This is produced by Bill Moyers. Editor and publisher says, while much of the evidence of the media's role as cheerleaders for the war presented here is not new, it is skillfully assembled. Several prominent media figures, prodded by Mr. Moyers, admit the media failed miserably, though few take personal responsibility. This kind of dovetails to what we were talking about specifically last night, what we talk about generally most of the time. Editor and publisher says the war continues today, now in its fifth year, with the death toll for Americans and Iraqis rising again. Yet Moyers points out, quote, the press has yet to come to terms with its role in enabling the Bush administration to go to war on false pretenses, end quote. Blah, blah, blah. At the close, Moyers mentioned some of the chief proponents of the war who refused to speak to him for the program, including Thomas Friedman, Bill Kristol, Roger Ailes, Charles Krauthammer, Judith Miller, and William Sapphire. But Dan Rather, the former CBS anchor, admits, quote, I don't think there is any excuse for, you know, my performance and the performance of the press in general in the roll-up to the war. We didn't dig enough, and we shouldn't have been fooled in this way. End quote. Bob Simon, who had strong doubts about evidence for the war, was asked by Moyers if he pushed any of the top brass at CBS to dig deeper, and he replies, no, in all honesty, with a thousand mea culpas, nope, I don't think we followed up on this. Instead, end quote, instead he covered the marketing of the war in a softer way, explaining to Moyers, this is Bob Simon saying, quote, I think we all felt from the beginning that to deal with a subject as explosive as this, we should keep it, in a way, almost light, if that doesn't seem ridiculous, end quote. Moyers replies, going to war, almost light. Jesus, God. Walter Isaacson, used to be with Time, and at the time was with CNN, is pushed hard by Moyers and finally admits, quote, we didn't question our sources enough, end quote. But why? Isaacson notes there was, quote, almost a patriotism police after 9/11. And when the network showed civilian casualties, it would get phone calls from advertisers and the administration and big people in corporations who were calling up and saying, you're being anti-American here, end quote. Oh, my God. Moyers then mentions that Isaacson had sent a memo to his staff, leaked to the Washington Post, in which he declared, quote, it seems perverse to focus too much on the casualties or hardship in Afghanistan, end quote. And then Isaacson ordered the people at CNN to balance any such images with reminders of 9/11. Moyers also asserts that editors at the Panama City, Florida News-Herald received an order from above, I remember this, quote, do not use photos on page 1A showing civilian casualties. Our sister paper has done so and received hundreds and hundreds of threatening emails, end quote. This is the press. This is the media in the United States of America. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your prime. Brainwash by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwash by the media, you're brainwashed by the...
We are redefining war on our terms.
Well, that's certainly good news. The Bill Moyers thing, a little bit more here from editor and publisher. It may be in your city tonight. It may be later on the week here in Atlanta. It's not going to be available, I don't believe, until Sunday afternoon. Walter Pincus of the Washington Post explains to Bill Moyer in this 90-minute special called Buying the War that even at his paper, the Washington Post, reporters, quote, do not worry about getting out ahead of something, end quote. You know, don't get too far out ahead. Just wait till ahead. Wait till somebody else reports it and then follow up. However, Moyers does give credit to Charles Hanley of the Associated Press for trying in vain to draw more attention to UN inspectors failing to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq in 2003. The special will also cover the disgraceful, according to editor and publisher, the disgraceful press reaction to Colin Powell's presentation at the UN. In fact, it seemed like something out of Monty Python, with one key British report cited by Powell being nothing more than a student's thesis downloaded from the web. And Phil Donahue, remember him on MSNBC? He recalls that he was told he could not feature war dissenters alone on his MSNBC talk show and always had to have, quote, two conservatives for every liberal, end quote. Moyers also resurrects a leaked NBC memo about Phil Donahue's firing that claimed he, this is from NBC, that claimed Moyers, quote, presents a difficult public face for NBC in a time of war. At the same time, our competitors are waving the flag at every opportunity, end quote. Well, the answer to that, get rid of Donahue, which they did. Moyers also, in this special, throws some stats around. In the year before the invasion, William Safire, this right-wing neocon flack who has worked for the New York Times since God was a teenager and I believe is now semi-retired, the guy who predicted a quick war with the Iraqis cheering their liberators, William Safire wrote, quote, a total of 27 opinion pieces fanning the sparks of war, end quote. The Washington Post carried at least 140 front-page stories in that same period, making the Bush administration's case for attack. In the 6 months leading to the invasion, the Post would editorialize in favor of the war at least 27 times. That's more than once a week. And then it says of the 414 Iraq stories broadcast on NBC, ABC, and CBS Nightly News in the 6 months before the war, almost every one could be traced back to sources solely in the White House, the Pentagon, or the State Department. Now, Moyers points that out to Tim Russert, who sits there with his thumb in his nose and offers no coherent reply. The program closes on a sad note, with Moyers pointing out that, quote, so many of the advocates and apologists for the war are still flourishing in the media, end quote. He then runs a pre-war clip of Bush declaring, quote, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud, end quote. And then Moyers explains, the man who came up with that was Michael Gerson, President Bush's top speechwriter. He has left the White House and has been hired by the Washington Post as a columnist. Jesus. Ugh. The liberal media, and this is what is just, it's another one of those things that the pig man and all of his little rats do constantly, and they've done it constantly now for years, this parroting of the phrase liberal news media. And people in this country still buy it. They still buy it. You know, the people who need to see this Bill Moyers special this week, tonight or later on this week, the people who need to see it, won't. They'll watch American Idol or sit around playing with themselves while they watch a Fox News channel or some such garbage. But they would no more think of exposing their clammy, atrophied brains to the truth than they would think of voting Democratic. Oh, God. Have you been to A28.org, letter A, numeral 28.org, www.A28.org? This is the website for the impeachment rallies. They're going to be nationwide this Saturday, April 28th. You can find information that you'll need. Americans across the country, it says, will take to the streets on April 28th to demand that Congress pursue the impeachment of Cheney and Bush. More than 100 impeachment actions are planned nationwide this Saturday. This comes on the heels of Congressman Dennis Kucinich filing of 3 articles of impeachment against Cheney yesterday for deceiving Congress about Iraq's alleged possession of WMDs and ties to al-Qaeda and for threatening Iran with attack. Jacob Park, national coordinator for the April 28 action, said, quote, nobody seriously disputes the allegations that Cheney manipulated the intelligence process in order to drum up support for the invasion of Iraq. Congressman Kucinich has taken a courageous stand for truth and accountability. Now it is time for the rest of the Congress to support this effort or to explain to the American people why they are willing to countenance such grave deceptions, end quote. And it goes on and on. Just go to the website. There's a couple. You can go to a28.org, or you can go to impeach07.org. You can go to impeachcheney.org. I'm sure you know about these. What happened in D.C. today at the Cannon House office building, a group of prominent Americans gathered to speak in support of beginning impeachment proceedings against Bush and Cheney. Among them were Rocky Anderson, the mayor of Salt Lake City, John Shields, the mayor of Nyack, New York. There were state legislators. There were former government officials, including Daniel Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers. David McMichael, a former analyst for the CIA, member of the Steering Committee of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Authors, journalists, playwrights, Chris Hedges was there, Justin Frank, John Nichols of excuse me, of the nation, David Lindorf, actors, producers, just on and on. Cindy Sheehan, Tina Richards, Medea Benjamin, Code Pink co-founder, Bob Furtick, David Swanson, on and on and on and on. So, the time is now, Truth Seeker. If not now, when? If not you and me, who? And this is not a massively big deal. This is just getting off our duffs this Saturday and demonstrating in favor of the removal of these bastards from office. It's got to happen. We cannot survive another 21 months of this criminal administration. We just can't do it. We can't do it. And there's oddly enough, or maybe not so oddly, because the framers were against mob rule, isn't that funny? There's very little that you and I can do directly. There's very little. Unless we want to take up arms and lead a revolution, which I don't think we do. I don't think we want to do that, do we? Because we'll be made dead very quickly. You know, some Blackwater monster will come up and very quietly put a bullet in the back of our heads and smile while he does it. So, you know, what are we left with? If the United States Congress, if the members of the Democratic Party, the leadership and the you know, the run of the mill members, the rank and file, if they haven't gotten the message, we put them in office, we put them there, we gave them the majority in both the House and the Senate. What the hell are we supposed to do now? Sit around and send them emails that say, "Do your job"? Why do you think we put you in? Come on. I'm sick of emails. I'm sick of writing letters. I'm sick of phone calls. I'm just fed up to my eyeballs. I'm so tired of it. So what's left? Making our presence known. There was an NBC Wall Street Journal poll tonight that was released that I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they were astonishing. Even media whore number one Tim Russert had to come on NBC Nightly News to blurt out these numbers. The vast majority, approaching 60%, 65%, I forget what it is, of Americans who support the Democrats' position of getting the troops the hell out of there. There's still about 35% psychopathic, sociopathic, crazed Republican right-wing religious freaks in this country who want more death and blood and gore and children blown up and Americans coming home in coffins. You know, we will always have these bastards with us. There's not too much we can do about that. But the vast majority of America now says, get out now, get out. There is nothing that we can accomplish in Iraq. There was nothing that we could accomplish in Vietnam except the murder of almost 3 million people in that godforsaken, sad country and 58,000 dead of our own. What did we accomplish in Vietnam? What will we accomplish in Iraq? It's time to come home. It's time to come home now. And these rat bastards won't do it. So they have to be removed from office. I mean, that's as clear as it can be. The Bush crime family figures it is entrenched. Even though the last election said, you're toast, you're history, get out. We don't want you anymore. You filthy pigs, you've lied to us. We want you gone. All right? There's something you can do about it this Saturday, just wherever you live. All you have to do is make your sign and step out on the street. Yeah, that figures, George. Only those are not malaprops. That comes from his heart. There has to be a focused effort against peace. And my apologies to Wiccans in using the term pentagram. I meant to use the term pentacle. while they may mean the same, the former is linked with all kinds of weirdness, whereas the pentacle is a religious symbol, a symbol that is more in keeping with the Wiccan faith. All right, this is for Catherine, and this will do it for tonight on these poster suggestions for Cheney, who is coming to Tulsa. And we mentioned earlier in the program, one of our listeners in Tulsa wanted just an idea, a banner, a poster she could make to welcome him to Tulsa. She will be there. Tulsa Truth, which apparently is an activist organization, and protesters will be out to give Cheney a welcome, or the people who will be in Tulsa to welcome him. There are a lot of Tulsans who think the sun rises and sets in one of Dick Cheney's body cavities, but there are also people out there who realize that's not the truth. All right, here's a couple for you, Catherine. This is from Ron in Briarwood, New York. My poster suggestion, he says, it's not original with me. I've seen it at demonstrations before, but these three words say it best: nobody likes you. That's a good one. This is from Sergey. You put the vice in vice president. Suzanne in L.A. Yeah, I got your 9% approval rating right here. You writing these down, Catherine? This is from Eleanor. Greetings, reptilian, or take me to your phlebotomist. this is from Todd in Mundelein, Illinois. How about a picture of Bela Lugosi inside a circle that has that line through it, and underneath it it says, this is a vampire-free area. Oh, here's Suzanne again. How about, welcome, Count Dicula. All right, that's there you go, Catherine. I hope you can put something together out of that.
How about, please don't shoot, I'm not a lawyer.
You need more coffee.
Or just simple, to the point. Go Cheney yourself.
Yeah, that one I like. Go Cheney yourself. I think one of the most effective means of showing your disapproval of a politician, especially these murderers, is when the motorcade passes through, which they don't do anymore. They bring them in armed personnel carriers in the dark of night, underground tunnels, into an auditorium that has been carefully screened. The occupants or the people who are going to come, the attendees, have been carefully screened. I wonder if they check in to see if they've been circumcised, if they're male. Huh. Oh, well. The most effective protest I think I've ever seen, other than just, you know, really, really blowing, has been to turn your back on the speaker or on the person passing by. Just turn your back silently. It's amazing. All right, a couple of phone calls here. Bill is calling from Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program.
I'm a heart patient, Mike. I like go blood clot go.
Oh, my God.
And you can put that where you put Tony Snow, what's his name's conscious, that rock. Remember that rock?
Yeah, I remember that rock.
Peace, my friend. We're going to make it.
All right. Take care, Bill.
Bye.
Steve is calling from L.A. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. I like that clock comment. That was good.
See what we've been reduced to? I know I have. I never used to, I never wished Nixon would fall over dead. I never wished that Oliver North would go nuts again and put a barrel in his mouth and pull the trigger. I just never did that. But with these people, I find myself having these kinds of thoughts. And I'm kind of ashamed, being the secular humanist that I am. I'm kind of ashamed that I have these thoughts. But anyway, the reason you called.
Oh, I kind of lied to your screener. This is SK from LA. I've called into you before.
Yeah?
And I know I've made you angry in the past, and I've kind of done that on purpose. It's kind of the protocol for what has to be done. And so I have to go through the red tape again of doing the proper serious greeting before I address my topic. And I hate doing this. This drives me insane. And...
Well,
it's something that they require me to do. It's like a protocol. I have to go through this ritual, and I'll do it so I can say what I called in about. But God,
who requires you to do this?
Oh, you know, the business. We'll just call it the business. Okay, here we go. Okay. We signed on the dotted line. We're good. Sorry about that. I hate that.
All right, now wait. Did you call this program just so you could take a toke on your water?
No. Well, it has a lot to do with it. But anyhow, I talked to somebody today who I would have previously considered a staunch disbeliever in the truth movement, if you will.
Yeah.
And just in a random water cooler conversation, you know, we were talking about how Rosie O'Donnell was leaving ABC, and I brought up, you know, the networks are talking about how she's leaving, but they're not talking about why.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, is that 9/11 stuff? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, just read her webpage, her blog. She says it quite openly. There's no secret, but the networks won't discuss that. They'll say it's a contractual dispute.
Right.
And anyway, the guy I'm talking to says, well, you know, she's really good, and she brought a lot of money into the network, and, you know, she deserves to be paid more. And I said, well, you know, what's the problem, do you think, with her speaking out about this? And he said, well, you know, if the truth were to come out, it would be horrible. It would cost millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It would disrupt the economy. And I said, well, what's worse, disrupting the economy or living in a totalitarian state?
Well, you got him. All right, Steve, thanks. I need to leave it there. I know you're not finished with the thought, but better to hit a brick wall than to, you know, be pecked to death by frogs. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NOVAM Radio Network. About 7 past the hour, we shall give our potential guests lots of time to check into the program. I understand they had an event tonight, and that involved a bunch of speakers, and you know how those things go. So we'll wait and see if Rocky Anderson calls in, or anyone else who was at that event. In the meantime, onward and upward, Brent in Minnesota sent this in. Mike, I sent my congressman, Jim Oberstar from Minnesota, an email last night, and he promptly replied this morning. I cut and pasted it below. I have a lot of respect for my congressman, but his position on the impeachment of Cheney only leaves me feeling defeated as well as disappointed with a representative I really like. He states numerous allegations of serious crimes by the Bush administration. He then goes on to say he and other members of Congress are concerned about political backlash if they pursue articles of impeachment. I would think the American public can differentiate between a witch hunt over a sexual indiscretion and the heinous crimes the Bush administration committed. It appears the Democrats are going to play the role of permissive parents to a misbehaving child when they should be punishing to deter the repetition of misdeeds. Mike, the Democrats are going to look the other way while these liars, killers, thieves, and traitors get and do what they want. And this is what Brent got back from James Oberstar, his representative. Thank you for your expression of support for Vice President Dick Cheney's impeachment over numerous allegations of illegal and improper actions involving the Bush administration. These allegations include the leaking of classified information related to our national security by top White House officials, false statements regarding the existence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, reports that President Bush overstepped his constitutional power in authorizing the National Security Agency to eavesdrop on innocent Americans without court-approved warrants, just to name a few. Speaker Pelosi has indicated she will not support impeachment proceedings in the 110th Congress. Many members of Congress, including myself, are concerned that an impeachment initiative may provoke a political backlash similar to the misguided Republican efforts to impeach President Clinton in 1998. However, the democratically controlled 110th Congress will push for more government reform and more government oversight. Oversight, traditionally the responsibility of Congress, is about making government better, and the Republican-controlled Congresses of the past 12 years have largely ignored this responsibility. Rest assured that I, along with my Democratic colleagues, will make government more responsive, more efficient, more transparent. With best wishes, sincerely, James Oberstar, MC. Member of Congress, like MP, Member of Parliament. Okay, well, you know, Representative Oberstar has his reasons for doing or not doing. Just remember Newton's, is it second law of motion? An object at rest tends to remain at rest until acted upon by an outside force. I know that's just part of it, and it's probably not the second law of motion anyway, but please don't send me an email telling me which of Newton's laws I just quoted. What? Thermodynamics?
I think isn't it the law of thermodynamics?
I don't care. Thank you. Thank you.
Object in motion remains in motion unless it's met by an opposing object.
No, that's the Oreo cookie rule. You give two Oreo cookies to a three-year-old and watch what happens. Not that we give Oreo cookies to Molly. She doesn't even know what the hell they are. We are organic with Molly. If she wants something to nibble on, we give her wood chips. Thermodynamics, first law, second law, third law, entropy, conservation of energy. What else have we got here? Very quickly, and then to your phone calls. Condoleezza Rice will be subpoenaed. Today, congressional Democrats voted to issue subpoenas to Rice and to the Republican National Committee. That's the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, the committee in front of which Kevin Tillman and Jessica Lynch appeared earlier this week. Tom Davis of Virginia, the committee's top Republican, says this is just politics. He accuses Waxman of using the subpoenas to get high-profile administration figures under oath before the cameras, quote, for the sake of political theatrics, end quote. My God. My God. They're getting close to putting DeLay in a federal prison, and that's going to happen. According to the Houston Chronicle, the federal probe into corruption related to disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff could be inching closer to former U.S. Representative Tom DeLay, as investigators focus on a former DeLay chief of staff who later employed the Republican leader's wife. DeLay has not been charged with any crime in the Abramoff case, and his lawyer said federal investigators have given DeLay no indication he's a target of the ongoing grand jury probe, yada, 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 yada. But prosecutors could decide within weeks whether to bring charges against former DeLay staff chief Edwin Buckham. The decision should give a clear signal on whether DeLay remains in legal jeopardy. Let's hope. That's one person I would like to see serve some time, if nothing else, for his smarmy, filthy, holier-than-thou arrogance. Go to jail, Tom. Do not pass go. Do not collect any more money. And we mentioned a House committee voted today to grant immunity to Monica Goodling so that she must appear before Congress now. The vote was 32-6 by the House Judiciary Committee, and that surpasses greatly the two-thirds majority required to grant a witness immunity from prosecution. and a second vote to authorize a subpoena for this woman passed by voice vote. All right. It's certainly getting interesting, isn't it? And last thing here, and then to your phone calls. This morning, across the country, hundreds of human rights advocates began a three-day fast to bring attention to the victims of the violence of the School of the Americas right down here in Fort Benning, Georgia, and to put pressure on Congress to vote in favor of H.R. 1707, which would finally cut funding for the School of the Americas. It's been renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. But it's been around for decades, originally established in 1946 in Panama. It was kicked out of that country in 1984 under the terms of the Panama Canal Treaty. The former Panamanian President Jorge Ilueca called the school, quote, the biggest base for destabilization in Latin America, end quote. Anyway, it's a combat training school for Latin American soldiers. Since its founding, it has trained more than 60,000 Latin American soldiers in counterinsurgency, sniper training, commando, psychological warfare, military intelligence, interrogation tactics, and torture. These graduates have consistently used their skills against their own people, frequently on behalf of anti-democratic U.S.-supported governments. This is not new stuff. We all know about this. My good friend Peter Werbe, who does talk radio in Detroit, goes to this every single year, this protest. And this year, this morning, hundreds of human rights advocates began this three-day fast to bring attention to this. You can go to soawatch.org. I believe it's soawatch.org. Is that right? Okay. soawatch.org to find out about this bloody school of torture, death, destruction. We know who comes up with it. Corporate America comes up with this stuff. And if not corporate America, it's slaves inside administrations, Democratic and Republican, for the past 60 years. You know, how to keep our little brown brothers south of the border in order and quiet so we can steal everything from their countries. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NOVAM Radio Network.
Bush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
Don't mean a thing, just lock your doors. 21 past the hour. Last thing from me tonight, and we're going to do your phone calls. Just on the front page of New York Times this morning, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, another regulatory agency that was put in place years ago, I believe during the Nixon years, possibly, because capitalism cannot be trusted. Remember, capitalism is an ism. It's not a person. It's not a human being. And it is a system, an economic system that is absolutely demonic in its exploitation of human beings. The only thing that holds capitalism in check and makes it possibly for a few people a workable economic system, and those are the few people at the very top, are regulatory agencies. For the rest of us, capitalism is anti-family, it's anti-life, it's anti-peace, it is pro-war, it's pro-death, it's pro-destruction. That is simply the nature of capitalism. You don't believe me? Go back to school, take an economics 101 course and figure it out for yourself. But in this country, where we've tried to turn capitalism into something that's manageable, into something that people can you know, dip their toe into without being sucked into this vat of acid and being dissolved. In order to do that, we've established regulatory agencies, whether it was the Food and Drug Administration, whether it was OSHA, whether it was it doesn't make any difference. All these government agencies that the Republicans, especially under Bush, have utterly and absolutely destroyed, were put in place to prevent capitalism from destroying us. And, of course, Republicans always think that if they get rid of Food and Drug Administration, the pills they take won't contain poison. Or the dog food their pet eats won't be full of crap and garbage and liquid plastic. Dumb bastards. Well, this is on the cover of the Times today. 7 years ago, a Missouri doctor discovered a troubling pattern at a microwave popcorn plant in the town of Jasper. After an additive was modified to produce a more buttery taste, 9 workers came down with a rare life-threatening disease that was ravaging their lungs. Puzzled Missouri health authorities turned to 2 federal agencies in Washington. Scientists at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, which investigates the causes of workplace health problems, moved quickly to examine patients, inspect factories, and run tests. Within months, they concluded that the workers became ill after exposure to diacetyl, a food flavoring agent. But the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, charged with overseeing workplace safety, reacted with far less urgency. It did not step up plant inspections or mandate safety standards for businesses, even as more workers became ill. The article goes on to explain, since Bush became president, OSHA has issued the fewest significant standards in its history, according to public health experts. It has imposed only 1 major safety rule. The only significant health standard it issued was ordered by a federal court. Now, why is this? Because what the Bush crime family has decided to do is to leave regulatory functions in the hands of the corporations to be regulated. This is not new. You know this. We knew this back in 1999 when this ignorant son of a bitch from Texas was selected by corporate America to be their front boy, to get out there and run as a hold your stomach, compassionate conservative. Oh, my God. But if you get a chance, go to nytimes.com and just read it. OSHA leaves worker safety in the hands of industry. It goes on and on and on. A popcorn flavoring additive that was making people deathly ill and killing them. And we knew what it was. The government knew. And OSHA said, oh, well, I'm sorry. Never mind. Bureau of Mines. What is the Bureau of Mines there for? That's right. To reduce complaints by mine workers where it concerns health and safety. The Bureau of Mines is not there to protect the safety of miners. And it goes on and on and on and on. Just check out the article, nytimes.com. OSHA leaves worker safety in hands of industry. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Everybody's telling all, bearing their souls, just to go on the Ricky Lake show. Why? Last night I turned the TV on, you were booed off stage, singing your famous love songs. Why? And tell me who.
king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
Bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. I went to the big town where there is a lot of sound. From the jungle to the city, looking for a bigger crown. So I play
26 before the hour. Did you see that little piece of tape today of Bush dancing up on stage with the African drummers? There are certain white people who shouldn't even listen to African drumming, much less try to dance to it. And there, and Laura, what was Laura doing? I thought Laura had moved into a hotel somewhere.
She was slightly more reserved than her idiot husband.
All right, I just got this from Donald in Augusta, Georgia. Mike, I just finished watching the Moyers report on the media buying the war. Even after knowing all that I know today, hearing it discussed again on this show just makes my blood boil. What it boils down to is that the media chose their personal goals and financial interests over going to war. And to hear them piously try to excuse their complicity away is sickening. The bastards in the White House used their muscle, right-wing echo machine, and the general cowardice of liberals to take this nation into the most immoral act in its history. Hillary Clinton can go to hell, and any Democrat who still claims there is some victory to be reached in Iraq can go as well. I am spending tomorrow writing letters to all of the candidates on the Democratic side and promising to do whatever I can to make their life a living hell during this election cycle until they agree to end this war. The idea those lazy bastards in Congress and the mainstream media can fall back on what the administration officials that sentence doesn't make sense, Donald, and not acknowledge who all of us against this war knew at the time, which is those people came into office vowing to take down Saddam. Hillary Clinton, of all people, should have questioned them. Her husband was the recipient of the letter from those evil SOBs to invade Iraq, and although Clinton did some immoral things to Iraq, even he wasn't stupid enough to invade the country. We are a nation of cowards and fools, and the Bushes of the world fully understand this, so they create scenarios to use our ignorance and fear against us for their own selfish ends. I am so ashamed to be an American right now. And, of course, I am not a knuckle-dragging, retarded Republican. Donald in Augusta. Well, I can't wait to see it. We don't see it here in Atlanta until, what, Sunday, Kathy? All right, your phone calls. Cal is calling from Oregon. Cal, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey.
Do you know the movie The Flim Flam Man?
From years ago. I don't remember the plot, but, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Well, basically, it was George C. Scott. Same deal as like the Music Man, the Wizard of, these guys, you got to hand it to them. They sold us our own freedom back, charged us billions of dollars. Now, at the risk of being oversimplistic, I'm going to say this about the 33% that still support Bush, all right? It's so goddamn painful for them to come to this realization that they'd rather believe, ultimately, that if they just keep on believing, something good's going to come out of this. It's been snake oil and smoke and mirrors, and I was pissed off at Tom Brokaw when I saw him say, what did he say? It was a breathtaking display of firepower when we first started bombing over there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This guy was just as duped as the rest of us, and I was pissed off at him. I didn't believe that 9/11 was an inside job, per se, or at least helped by our own government. But now, 5 years after the fact, I'm starting to realize these things that ultimately I couldn't believe it, but it's true. And I used to work at NBC as a copy boy back in the 70s, and I knew these guys, and they were actually decent people. We were all flim-flam. And the sooner we start forgiving these neocons, because they are literally just knuckleheaded, lovable knuckle draggers who will do anything for the people that they love. They just can't come to terms with the fact that we've just been taken over the coals, and it's merely just a flim flam, the whole thing. And Giuliani sold us out. I don't want to hear anybody talking about what a great guy Giuliani was. He was told, oh, guess what? If you just do this, we're going to make you our new boy. He sold out all the New Yorkers, man. I'm sorry. Those firemen, the policemen, he could have done a lot more. They couldn't even speak to each other. I've seen all the movies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the misinformed, sincerely altruistic people who would probably do anything for the people that they loved. And they're good people. but they just, they're not going to, they just don't want to believe that, I just had somebody come up to my door, I'm a truck driver, they just don't want to believe that they could have been raked over the coals so bad. And so, you know what, I was pissed off when I first heard that this whole thing was, you know, an inside job. I remember 5 years ago when people were talking about it, like, you gotta be out of your freaking mind. And now it's come to fruition. People are waking up and they're gonna realize, oh my God, it's true. And it's just, it's so painful for these fucking people.
No, Cal. No, Cal. No. We're not on satellite radio. You guys have got to be careful with your language. You really do. You got to. All right, Cal. Appreciate you checking in, but got to be careful. As far as the media being flim-flam too, along with us, along with the public. No, I don't go along with that because reporters are supposed to be much more able to dig out the truth than average people, say, like me. Now, with the internet here, 5 years into this war, yeah, I have sources of information now that didn't exist 5 years ago, though. But the function of news media, newspaper man, a writer, television reporter, the function of the Fourth Estate to me was always to, not to get cute, but to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Somewhere in there it was that little line. But also it was to be a challenge to government. Because government is, especially in the hands of Republicans, inherently evil. It just is. It tends toward evilness. It tends toward the collection of power. It tends toward absolute power, and we all know about absolute power. Democrats are less inclined to go there, but Democrats are as guilty in some respects as, not as guilty as Republicans, but they tend, Democrats in positions of power, tend towards that direction also, the consolidation of power. And that is the function of the news media, to keep these bastards real, to keep them from drifting too far into authoritarianism or totalitarianism or, in this case, fascism. So, you know, I didn't go to journalism school. I don't have I'm not backed by a billion-dollar company where I can, put on a flak jacket and jump in an airplane and go to a war zone and report the truth. I'm not David Halberstam, who, by the way, killed in a car wreck, for God's sake, in California the other day. I believed in relying on reporters and newsmen and newswomen to go dig out the truth and smack these politicians right upside the head with the truth. And what happened? You saw what happened. I almost lost it 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the run-up to the war. CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all of them, ABC, CBS, NBC, everybody. The drums and the music, everybody trying to brand the war for their network or their station. It was the most disgusting display of jingoism I've ever seen. And the excuse that, well, we were reeling from the attack on 9/11, that's when you are most required to keep a level head. It's when something like that happens, whether it's in your family, in your community, your city, or your country. That's not a time to go, oh my God, somebody, okay, let's bomb. That's when a level head is required. That's when your thought processes have got to work. They've got to click along. You've got to figure out how to respond in a manner that is equal to what happened to you, that digs out the truth, that brings the perpetrators to justice. So, no, I'm sorry. I don't buy that excuse that the news media as well as the American public was reeling from 9/11. These Bush crime bastards engineered that event some way, shape, or form. They did it. And the news media, the 9/11, and the news media went along with the attack on Iraq as though that made sense. So I don't accept that, Cal, that news media was, I'm not saying that was your point, but, you know, to accept the idea that news media was hornswoggled too, no, I'm not buying it. Their job is not to be. They are paid to dig out the truth, not to publish or broadcast press releases from this corrupt, filthy, in this case, Bush crime family. Doesn't work that way. Wayne is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'll tell you, you're to me a sanity check here in Washington every evening after I have to cover these neocons and ex-cons in this administration.
Uh-oh.
You know, trying to get the news out on my website, Wayne Madsen Report. But
is this Wayne Madsen?
It is.
Oh
yes.
Well, hey Wayne, how you doing?
Well, very good. I like I say, sometimes I come home, I turn on your program, I say, my God, I'm not the only one who got all upset today.
Right.
And it's a good sanity check, so I want to thank you for that. I just happened to hear you say about talking about Cheney and his medical matter yesterday, and I never wanted the phlebitis to take Richard Nixon's life, but I was telling a friend of mine today, I said, you know, with Cheney and the way he engineered this thing, I was on the Hill yesterday to cover Dennis Kucinich's news conference on a very important matter, articles of impeachment against Mr. Cheney.
Right.
And it was scheduled at noon, but it was postponed because Cheney decided he was going to take an ambulance to George Washington University Hospital for a routine medical exam. And, of course, Fox News led the way with the whole hype about Cheney and forced Kucinich into a corner.
Right.
I don't think you can be nice to people like Cheney. Cheney would not do that for if the roles were reversed. And I think we just have to be very tough on these guys. I don't care if Cheney was on life support. I would have still held that news conference because we've got to get rid of him. And then we have to impeach Bush. It's clear.
Hey, can you hold on a second, Wayne?
Absolutely, Mike.
Because I want to ask you about this event today with some well-known politicians and artists and freedom-loving types, the rally about the impeachment. So hold on a second. And it occurred there in D.C. Hold on a second, if you would, Wayne. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. So America's cheer while we kill the innocent families. And what better place to start a war? To build a pipeline to get the oil that they have wanted before.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour, talking with Wayne Madsen, who's called in from D.C., the Wayne Madsen Report.com. Wayne Madsen Report.com. Wayne, we were expecting Rocky Anderson or somebody to call tonight, but maybe things got a little bit too intense. There was an event there today. First of all, the outdoor event at the House, the Cannon House office building, about the in support of impeachment, and then tonight there was a town hall forum that was supposed to end at 9 o'clock Eastern time, and we were kind of expecting that was at All Souls Unitarian Church. There were all sorts of people going to speak there, and I understand there's an awful lot of notables in D.C. in support of Kucinich's move to impeach Cheney and also the move to impeach Bush. So I want to ask you, first of all, did you cover that event? But secondly, and more importantly, what is your take on the mood in D.C. about really getting these bastards out of office?
Well, I didn't cover the event, although I noted several people I know from past anti-war rallies here, counter-inaugural functions, and also protests we've had at Bush's State of the Union address. Many of those same folks were at that rally, Cindy Sheehan, of course, who I know, and Dan Ellsberg. This is the core group of folks who have been after this administration since before the war started. But where it counts is the Democratic leadership in the House, and we don't see really any support. As I wrote today, you go back and look at what Henry Gonzalez, the late great congressman from Texas, he issued similar articles of impeachment against George H.W. Bush for the first Iraq War. It reads very similar to these Kucinich articles against Cheney and Cynthia McKinney, who I know you know, and she's a friend of mine. Before she left Congress, she dropped a couple articles on George W. Bush, but never gets any support from the leadership. But
arguably with McKinney, she was, you know, she had a Republican Congress. Obviously it was going to go nowhere. But Kucinich, now, how does he introduces a resolution? It's taken up by the full House, and if they decide that there's something there, they hand it off to the Judiciary Committee.
Well, that's right. It's got to go to John Conyers, and who's the chairman of Judiciary, and then it's voted on, and then it goes before the full House, and it looks, you know, without the support of the Speaker and without the support of the Majority Leader, these articles are going to have a tough time seeing the light of day, and it's just like past articles. It seems like ever since the House Judiciary Committee voted articles of impeachment in 1974 against Nixon, they've been reluctant to use articles of impeachment against Republican presidents, although the Republicans had no problem with those trumped up articles against Bill Clinton.
And that the hell of it is, a case very easily could have been made against Reagan and then against George Herbert Walker Bush of overstepping their constitutional limitations. It would have been very easy to at least bring the debate before the House Judiciary Committee on articles of impeachment. When I think about what they did to Clinton, it just, you know, smoke starts to come out of my ear holes, and I've got to calm down because it's just insane. Do you think, I mean, given what you just said about the Democratic Party leadership, though, do you think that this is going to move against Cheney, against anybody?
Well, first of all, Kucinich needs to get some co-sponsors. Right now, he's the only sponsor of those articles. Where's the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, the Hispanic Democratic Caucus, the Progressive Caucus, which Kucinich is a member of? Where are all these people? Nobody stepped up, and you know, I think that's the biggest problem. This should have happened a long time ago, but now, as you say, the Democrats have control. But we hear from Rahm Emanuel and others to say, well, we don't want to, you know, push the issue and give the Republicans a cause. A cause for what? You look at the polls, the Republicans are going down. And here the Democrats are trying to be careful and trying to play by Marquess of Queensbury rules, which I don't think, whether you're canceling news conferences because poor Cheney went to the hospital to have his clot checked out. I just don't think we can be nice to these people.
I don't either. Wayne, I wish you would call in more often. I enjoy hearing from you. The other night I was talking about relying on investigative reporters now on the Internet, and I don't know if I mentioned your name in that group. I mentioned five or six people, but I want to mention it right now. You and Josh Marshall and the list just goes on. Greg Pallas, who obviously is not just an online investigator. He also works for the BBC and other places. But right. you guys are the ones who are keeping things real to the extent that you can. And I have the greatest respect for what you're doing and what other investigative journalists are doing online. So it's an honor to have you on the program, and I hope you'll call in occasionally, okay?
I will do so. And right. When I get invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, you know I'm not doing my job any longer.
But if you do get invited, ask me to come along. Thanks, Wayne.
Sure enough. You bet, Mike.
Appreciate you checking in. Wayne Madsen, M-A-D-S-E-N, report.com. If you're not familiar with it, check this guy out. If you don't know Wayne Madsen, M-A-D-S-E-N, report.com, you're missing something you should be reading. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We have a couple open lines here. The number is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Quick email from Claudia in Kentucky. Mike just watched the entire Bill Moyers program, and it was astounding. But for two Knight Ridder, Woodward, and Bernstein types who questioned everything and reported it out west, and Phil Donahue, who got canned promptly for doing so, no one in the media got front-page coverage with conflicting news stories on Iraq. The real question is, how many viewers do you suppose watched tonight's revealing and thorough timeline on the events reported in the lead-up to war? Recommend it to anyone you can at pbs.org. I believe one can... Ouch. Sorry for that. I believe you can view it there, pbs.org. A true eye-opener. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I guess we get it Sunday night. All right, back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, about the September 11th, Nick Rockefeller actually told Aaron Russo, director and producer of America from Freedom to Fascism, that a September 11th event was going to take place. So, you know, a lot of these elitists and the Rockefeller family, and a lot of these other elitist type of guys were actually bragging about it. At least a year ahead of time, something like that was going to happen. So, you know, it becomes more and more obvious all the time what happened with September 11th. Now, as far as Dennis Kucinich is concerned, what is the excuse for Democrats now not to support something like this? Because we've heard all this crap before about, well, we can't go after Dick Cheney, George Bush, blah, 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 yada, 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 because, well, we'll get stuck with Dick Cheney,
right.
You know, if you do that. You know, as if you went after Bush, you wouldn't wind up getting Dick Cheney at the same exact time anyway, because, you know, they've committed the same exact crimes at the same exact time. You know, and anyway, the American people, you know, they would never put up with a vampire like George Bush as president anyway. You got a bunch of dummies out there, you know, for some reason they think George Bush is some kind of a nice guy, or we'll give him a break because he's stupid, because he's a retard. So that was always a stupid excuse anyway. I don't think, you know, God bless Dennis Kucinich for what he's doing, but I don't think anybody's going to support him on this. What was it? Been a day or two so far. Nobody's come forward so far.
Well, just
Dennis Kucinich.
Everybody knew he was going to do it, and today is when yesterday? When was it, Kathy? Was it yesterday? Yesterday when he actually introduced the three articles of impeachment. Or a bill of impeachment, I guess is what they call it. It contained three articles. Now it's up to the Judiciary Committee to either take this seriously or not.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, he should keep going, though. You know, whether people are going to support him or not, you know, it's good that he's doing the right thing. You know, it's good that somebody is doing the right thing every once in a while. And before I go, I would like to recommend Aaron Russo as a guest for your show, because guys like Michael Medved, and he's been blocked for some of these other shows because they don't want to bring up the sort of things he talks about in that movie.
Well, send me an email with a contact point. We'll see what we can do. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. Quick email here from Ron, who's lost in PA. Mike, one of the many reasons I have difficulty keeping cynicism at bay is from my times at the Environmental Protection Agency. I remember stumbling upon the initial reports on the Kansas popcorn factory you mentioned tonight. I was working on a piece dealing with vermiculite litigation and the W.R. Grace Company in Montana. There was absolutely no mention of it in the press. I think it was first reported by the agency in 2002. I left the EPA in 2004. It is astounding what you can discover, just how many of these self-regulating industries are returning to workplace practices that would make Upton Sinclair shake his head in disgust, and many of them incorporate in Delaware to avoid culpability in other states. One such instance I had a hand in, dealt with a man in Potts Grove, PA, whose wife was dying of a rare form of liver cancer called angiosarcoma. This is associated with exposure to chemicals used in the production of polyvinyl chloride, or PVC. Based on some research I did for this man, it was discovered that he lived within an area where a former Firestone plant used to be, a company that was taken over by Occidental Chemical, also known as Hooker Chemical, you know, Love Canal. Anyway, I found out there were several large settling lagoons on the property, half of them unlined, filled with PVC sludge. And they had been there for many, many years. And the reason why? Every time they tried to pump them out, they'd start to percolate, meaning boom. It's now a Superfund site. And my conversations with this man and the stunned, desperate, yes, yet indignant tone of his voice linger in my memory. And I can't bear to think about what may have happened to his wife. Ron, lost in PA. Yeah, I'm sure anyone who's worked for these agencies has horror stories like that to tell. And the fact is that the Congress, in many instances, Democrats in Congress, who for years and years and years controlled the purse strings, refused to adequately fund Superfund cleanup sites. Yes, there was a lot of money provided, but I'm talking about adequate funding. I read some, and you never hear about this anymore. I read someplace that it would take hundreds of billions of dollars to clean up the toxic waste, everything from nuclear waste to mining tailings to mercury, lead, arsenic, all the different chemicals that are used in the mining industry that have washed into rivers and streams. It would just take billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, about the cost of the Iraq War. But we just don't seem to have the desire to do that. We have a death wish of some sort. We, like I mentioned the other night, we've decided that we will accept however many Americans were killed in Iraq today. It's okay. We'll take that. And tomorrow, the same thing. And the next day, the same thing. We don't even count the Iraqis. But we will accept if 5 Marines get blown to pieces tomorrow. Okay, that's right. We'll take that. And if 10 the next day, okay, that's right, we'll take that. Well, the same thing applies to these Superfund sites where who knows how much disease and death is just percolating into the environment. You know, you think about all these statistics now that show one out of every 140 children has some form of autism, from Asperger's syndrome to various forms of autism, and nobody can figure out why. Nobody can figure out why. Do you suppose maybe, could it possibly be the wonderful world of unbridled capitalism that has brought this to our children? Capitalism doesn't care because capitalism is not alive. It's a system. But the system is designed in a manner. It works in a manner that is anti-life. It is pro-death. It is anti-family. It is anti-human. It is anti-man, anti-woman. It's anti-everything. Its only interest is in capital. That's why they call it capitalism. Oh, God, I know I said this the other night. Ah, to hell with it. Back to your phone calls. Alex is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? I enjoyed seeing you at the get-together.
Oh, were you there? Well, me too. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, anyhow, we had this little kid that I ran into the other day. He was 19 years old at the Safeway, and while I was talking, and he overheard me saying, you know, 32 people die every day in Baghdad, but nobody seems to get their noses out of joint.
Yeah.
And he was talking. There was 5 kids in his neighborhood that grew up together. 2 joined the Marines and 2 joined the Army. In the past 6 weeks, both went in on the buddy system and both different, you know, Army and Marines.
Right.
They both got blown up by IUDs. So the 5 kids that grew up together for the past 19 years, 4 are dead and he's still alive.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
No, these kids grew up and they lived down the street from these other kids. They went to Paradise Valley High School. The other kid that went to Paradise Valley that was 5 years older, Anthony Gillespie, he was in the Coast Guard. He was a medic back before Memorial Day weekend. Him and 9 other medics got transferred to Baghdad by Bush. Right. The only thing Bush could say on Memorial Day was, we thank the Coast Guard for their contribution in the war effort.
Hey, hold on a second, Alex. I got to do a break. Just stay right there. We'll come back and pick this up on the other side of the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all night. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things
days and what they used to be.
Anyone past the hour. We're talking with Alex in Scottsdale, Arizona, about these four kids who grew up together, five kids, four of them dead. Jesus God, Alex.
Yeah, it's one of those things that'll just drive the crap out of you.
Man.
Well, the one kid's name was Mike, and it was his friend Mike and Dan. And there was Chris and Patrick. And, you know, all five of these kids grew up together from Sunday school all the way through kindergarten, all the way through high school, graduated together. And then the four of them decided to go, you know, and do their thing. And Mike's trying to talk the other Mike and the other three out of it. And they wanted to do it. And like I said, less and less, the past 6.5 weeks, they all got killed.
Oh, my God.
And the other thing is, the other kid I was talking about, Anthony Gillespie, Kevin Gillespie's only son, he joined the Coast Guard thinking to be a medic, he could help people and do his thing, but he didn't think he could transfer to Baghdad being the only child and get blown up with 9 other medics the week before Labor Day, or was it Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And like I said, Bush got on the radio on Memorial Day weekend, and we'd like to thank the Coast Guard for their contribution in the war effort, when he didn't have the stones to say, hey, 9, 10 medics, one with an only son, got blown up on a helicopter because the Shiites thought about it and they put it on there for him.
Yeah. I don't know, Alex. I just sometimes you've heard me say it, and I'm sure most people listen to this program feel the same way. Sometimes I just feel like if this madness doesn't stop, I don't know. I can't even finish the sentence. Scott, listen. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate you checking in. All right.
All right. You take care, Mike.
All right. You too. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Kim, who is a Nova M founding member and one of the founding members of VeteransAgainstTorture.com, writes in regarding the backlash for impeachment and his subject line, backlash for impeachment, bull crap. He says, what the hell are they talking about saying they're worried about a backlash? He's referring to the Democrats. If they try to impeach Cheney, what is his approval rating? 9%? Let that 9% backlash, frontlash, side up or downlash, who gives a tinker's damn? What about the 91% of us who just might backlash their butts out of office if they don't at least try to impeach the fascist heart of America thieves? God, I'm sick of our side being nice. Kim. Yeah, I hear you, buddy. From Travis in Sacramento. Mike, glad to hear you talking about the media and its gaggle of prostitutes. No offense to sex workers. America's so-called journalists. You know what drives me absolutely out of my mind is how it is that these journalists reside in some of the most powerful places within our nation and have completely usurped the protections guaranteed to their profession, the press, in the name of greed. Let me digress a minute. You know, as far as I know, they're the only... here's what he says. Their profession, by the way, is the only one protected as sacrosanct by the Constitution of this United States. Because it says there, you know, Congress should make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free expression exercise there or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. You know, these journalists are mentioned in the Constitution. That's why their failure is so egregious, is so monumental, is so stupefyingly insane that these rat bastards... There's no guarantee in the Constitution about doctors. There's no guarantee about scientists. There's no guarantee about the people that, pluck apples off of trees. But there is a guarantee about those members of the press. That's why it's infuriating what they did. Travis goes on. So where do we find ourselves today then? Well, with the consolidation of the media in this country now in the hands of a few dozen individuals... Thank you so much for that legacy, Ronald Reagan. And with information, honest-to-goodness news becoming more and more difficult to obtain, thus barring illumination and propelling the populace into action, I have come to realize that these so-called journalists and the mass media are not only complicit in this most recent of criminal activity by the Bush crime family, but more important, that these same journalists do so because of one simple reason. They relish their lavish lifestyles. The kind of life which allows them to hobnob with the folks inside the Beltway, the kind of life which allows their progeny to attend prestigious universities around the world, the kind of life which allows them to travel for the summer or maybe the Bahamas for the winter, France for the summer, Bahamas for the winter, so they can recharge their authorial batteries, take stock of all the hard work that they do right here in America to keep us in the dark. Whether it's Tim Russert or Brian Williams, to mention just two annoying television personalities, because that's what they are, and therefore are not worthy of holding the title of journalist, it is my contention that these same men and women are lazy, good-for-nothing hacks who participate with every presidential administration, every newly ushered majority of Congress, and the folks on Wall Street and the cartels of industry, the real robber barons and baronesses who pay the bills for these so-called journalists. Turn off the television. It'll only drive you crazy. Instead, read, like Americans used to, once upon a time, in a country far removed from the one in which we find ourselves residing today. Sincerely, Travis, Sacramento. We'll be right back. Don't discuss things. Shout the last word. Put your person out the pasture.
Night, truth seekers, time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Yeah, I'm furious with media in this country. I couldn't believe it when it was going on almost 5 years ago, the run-up to this war. No criticism, no challenge, no question, nothing. And the pigs in this Bush crime family just, I mean, they wallowed in it. Oh, my God, they just wallowed in it. Do you remember? It's difficult to remember back that far. I understand. Remember, television is designed to make us forget, and I don't care how much we talk about not watching television. We do. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of the press. And this is how the current crop of fake ears in mainstream media pay back the framers of the Constitution, by becoming nothing more than whores. No offense to sex workers. Back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from Miami. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Tell you what, the idea of what's wrong with Afghanistan and Iraq is just a numbers game. We never have more than 20,000 troops in Afghanistan, where the supposed masterminds are. You know, we're not even looking for Bin Laden anymore.
Now, hell no.
And think about this, Mike. With all the technology we got, we could measure the gravitational pull on the moons of Jupiter from Earth, you know, all this, figure out light sources from millions of miles away. You're telling me we can't find two guys in the mountains of Afghanistan.
Right. Well, they don't want to catch him. They never did.
We've got satellites. We've got satellites that can take a picture of you from 200 miles up, and your mama would recognize you.
Right.
And they're telling me they can't find these guys.
Right, right.
I mean, that tells you, like the man said, inside job. The whole thing's set up. Bin Laden's probably living in some dacha someplace that they bought for him. Take care of him, man.
I wouldn't be surprised. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Joe. Osama bin Laden. Oh, give me a freaking break. Osama bin Laden, my ass. Albert is calling from Miami. Hey, Albert.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Okay. Pleasure to talk to you finally. I'm so glad that you're on earlier, where I can call you and at least say hi. And
hey, me too.
And just maybe communicate some of my frustration, because I tell you something, my wife, many a times I've put her to listen to you, and she says, hope he doesn't have a heart attack. And I don't mind telling you, many a times I thought I was going to have a heart attack, because I just don't know where to begin. I mean, it's just...
I hear you.
one thing after another. It's you were just talking about the complicity with the media, with these people. I mean, you know, I've always said they're our last line of defense, you know, against corruption. And here they are in bed with these, you know, with,
with
the corruptors.
It
makes me crazy, quite frankly, and among other things, you know.
I hear you.
And you know, something, let me tell you a quick story, because this is something which I've often thought about, and I've been thinking about it more and more recently, right, with what's been going on here. My parents are from the Dominican Republic, right? Now, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No.
You should go. It's a lovely place. Don't go by Rush Limbaugh, by the way, okay?
yeah.
You know, don't go by Rush Limbaugh. It's a lovely place.
In fact,
I've often thought about going down there and live myself. If things keep going in this country the way they're going, I may just go down there sooner. But it's a lovely place. It's got great rum and, you know, and cigars, and half the Hispanic players in the big leagues are Dominican. But I'll never forget, when I was a kid and Nixon had just resigned and we were down there on vacation, and one of my uncles turns to me and he goes, "Isn't that great how they made Nixon resign? Now that's a democracy." And I just think nowadays, I say to myself how things have changed in this country, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It makes me sad, and I just say to myself, where is the accountability? That's why I loved what I saw with Dennis Kucinich, what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
the articles of impeachment. And he said it so eloquently. He said it. He said, "This is about our country, what it's becoming, not holding people accountable." I mean, the first day we went to Iraq, I was saying to myself, "Wait a minute!" And I was telling people around me, "To me, this seems like we're doing a favor for the Saudis." Quite frankly,
right?
But nobody wants to say anything. You know, a question. I mean, good Lord! I mean, what has happened to us? You know, quite frankly, it's
you know, I'll tell you, in my opinion, it's been a slow process, Albert,
mm-hmm.
a slow erosion
mm-hmm.
Of interest on the part of the Americans, whether we're native born or immigrants. It doesn't make any difference. Once we're here, we're here. People come here,
mm-hmm.
or people are glad they're born here for a certain
mm-hmm.
reason, and that is we've had this illusory or this illusion of freedom. Most people, you know, the lighter your skin in this society, the more freedom you've always had. But it's gotten to the point now where over the past, I believe this, the past 40 years, people just said, "Oh, man, I'm too busy." We gave up on the political system. And, you know, nature doesn't like a vacuum. Neither does politics. And
mm-hmm.
when everybody stays home and sits on their ass and says, "Well, it's somebody else's job to make sure things get done," then the fascists move in. The
mm-hmm.
The fascists always move in.
Exactly. Let me tell you something.
But people, Albert, wait a minute. I was going to say, people from outside this country who look at us and the kind of lifestyle either we have or they think we have, and then they see the 55% of us turn out to vote in a presidential election or a congressional election, maybe 25% of us, or in a runoff, maybe 14% of us, and people outside this country look at this and go, "What the hell is wrong with those Americans? They're giving it away. They're just giving it away."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what your uncle's, you know.
You know something, you have a point there. And let me just tell you something. I kind of blame myself also. I'm complicit. I feel myself, because back in the 90s, right, when I used to hear about Rush Limbaugh, I thought that's some crazy wacko right winger. Well, you know what? Now these wackos are in charge, you know. So it goes to show you, if you don't, like you just said, if you fall asleep at the wheel, you know,
something's
going to happen, you know. And it's And again, it's scary. And because the thing is, I listen to, you know, I never used to really care that much about it. I have to be honest. Now, I'm really, a lot of my cousins, by the way, they're like, some were born here, others were born in the Dominican, they're living here in Miami now, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, like, one of my cousins' wives, she was very active with the Curry campaign. She's Dominican. I mean, she, again, an immigrant. She was born down there. She's been living here now for a while. She said, "I got to get involved." She was
right.
in the Curry campaign, you know. And she was saying, but it's just, again, it's just, because, for example, I watch C-SPAN. I see a lot of people calling up these shows on C-SPAN, for example, in the morning, and they're, like, still, you know, it's still out there. I mean, there may be 25-30% of people that still believe in the garbage these people have been spewing, but, you know,
but they're still
dangerous.
There. Yeah,
they're still there, in my opinion. You know, it's sad. I mean, and it makes you wonder, why would anyone want, because, you know, the old saying is democracy isn't free. Well, you know, it's true. You have to work for it. And that means questioning your government. I mean, I think the premise is you can't trust anybody, really. I mean, they're there. And the old saying goes, power corrupts, Right, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, you know, and that's all there is to it. And I'll tell you one, these Republicans, I mean, what gets to me is that what they've done is so, in not holding Bush and company accountable, quite frankly, that is un-American. I mean, that is tantamount to what the Nazis and the communists have done in putting an agenda and putting a party before your country. And that's and that's treasonous, quite frankly.
It makes me as angry as it makes you. Albert, thanks for checking in. Don't be a stranger. Call us once in a while, okay?
All right, then I'll do that. Thanks.
All right, take care. Take care. Oh, man. Got an email here from, who's this from? Rose in California. Mike, this is about fear of backlash. Democrats being fear of backlash. Rose in California writes, "Hi, Mike. I think the Democrats who say they're concerned about backlash over impeaching Cheney are hiding behind that excuse and are really terrified of Cheney and his minions. We can see that Cheney, Bush, Rove show no mercy when it comes to their enemies or rivals. There are so many items on the menu. Swift Boat Surprise, Papa John McCain's push-pull, pizza, Daschle's anthrax, antipasto, or the perfect end to the perfect career, the Wellstone buffalo wings. Or if you're into a more mundane brand of intimidation, how about just knowing that your government's been spying on your phone calls and emails and has access to all of your banking and medical records?" Well, to me, all the more reason to fight, especially if you can fight from a position of power that doesn't require firearms. You know what I'm saying? The legislative branch of government, certain areas of the executive branch that haven't been totally prostituted and corrupted by these bastards, certain areas of the judicial branch that are still alive and still have positive energy in them. I'm not trying to shift responsibility or shirk my own responsibility as an American citizen, but I'll tell you this, all the power I have, and of course it could be considerable, would be firepower. But the power that members of Congress have, especially senators, or people working inside this filthy administration who haven't been corrupted, they have the power. And if they, in this instance, my elected representatives, my Democratic Party representatives, starting with Nancy Pelosi and working all the way through, you know, this caucus and that caucus, you know, these are my people. And whether I live here in Georgia and voted in the Georgia for the Georgia representative, or it doesn't make any difference. Nancy Pelosi is my representative. Harry Reid is my senator. You understand what I'm saying with that? So it's up to them. It's up to them. I'll support them. But by God, they've got to fight.
If you're perfectly comfortable with all that's been done, gaze at your daughters and gaze at your sons. Ask yourself this question over again. Would you be perfectly happy if it happened to them? If you're perfectly comfortable, commit to a friend.
Before the hour, thanks to the outlaw band of progressive radio freaks who've clustered around Nova M here this evening once again. Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix at KPHX and handled your phone calls. Our senior correspondent, who resides somewhere in Minnesota, that would be Chris. Mark Marshall, our webmaster, the moderators at MikeMalloy.com/message board. And I haven't mentioned Mark Marshall's new CD, New Eye. It's available on iTunes and Napster, or go to markmarshall.com for more information. We have some people who listen to or participate in this program who are damn good musicians. Jeff Farias, who is based right there at KPHX in Phoenix, is another one. He plays double bass, I think. A stand-up double bass. John Neems, piano tuner in Las Vegas. Mark Marshall, our webman. I mean, there are just so many. And I know, I mentioned three out of 50. But there is really some good music being produced and or played and or whatevered by people who somehow are connected to this program. I don't know. Do you suppose anybody who plays music listens to Limbaugh? Oh, God. Anyway, also, don't forget to go to NovaMradio.com. And have we hit 5,000 yet? We still haven't hit 5,000. Sign up for podcasts. I don't know. I just, that's getting very discouraging to me. Oh, well, enough Italian guilt. I'm not gonna be your mother and tell you, oh, you never call, you never write, you don't sign up at Nova M. Back to your phone calls. Robert in Miami. Hey, Robert.
Hello, Mike. I'll try to streamline this. I have some news about 9/11, Massawi, and Bush, which you'll never see in the media, and it's actually fascinating that it's never mentioned. And you remember in August of 2001, the FBI captured Zacharias Massawi in Minnesota. The flight school instructor
right.
had said a plane fully loaded with fuel could be used as a weapon, and he was acting suspiciously at all kinds of cash and et cetera, et cetera. They had about 10 different things on him. The FBI guy named Marion Spike Bowman, a man, but his name was Marion.
Now, wait. Stop just a second. Robert, the program's almost over. We're
okay.
running. No, wait. Hold on. We're running out of time. When you hit the audience or I hit the audience with a bunch of cross references and names and everything, it just doesn't work. It's too late in the program. You understand
okay.
what I'm saying? I want to hear what you got to say, but
okay.
I'm going to suggest you call back sometime, at the beginning of the show, not near the end, where everybody's burned out here from 3 hours of listening to all this garbage. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. I guess.
All right. No. I want to hear what you got to say. I'm just saying, with a minute left in the program, with you rattling off all these names real quick, people are just
maybe
gonna...
if I drop the names.
No.
Can I say this in three sentences, maybe?
Go ahead.
I'll try. the French gave them a report, gave the FBI and CIA a report linking Massawi to a terrorist group that had successfully hijacked the plane in the mid-90s, intending to drive it into the Eiffel Tower.
Right.
The French terror troopers stopped that, but he was linked to. So the same thing, a national symbol, skyscrapers, same exact thing as 9/11. I'm watching the 9/11 Commission report in the spring of 2004.
Right.
They asked him the direct question, did he have this information? He said yes. Before they asked him, did you tell Bush this information? So we would find out if Bush knew before 9/11 of that
right.
link to that Eiffel Tower. The 9/11 commissioners dropped the line of questioning and moved on to something else.
Well,
and no newspaper reported this. I saw it live is the only reason I know. I saw that hearing that day live. Nobody ever remarked upon it. Not one
right.
commentator in
well,
TV ever remarked upon this.
You're absolutely right. Non-mainstream media did report on that, Robert, and which is where most of us got that, if we got it at all. And it is an outrage, and I hear what you're saying, and I wasn't trying to get pushy with you. It's just that usually towards the end of the program, when somebody has something that's powerful like that, what you had to say, it was a very powerful point. The clock's running out. I know the clock's running out, and callers tend to speed it up then, and I hate to have that speeded up because what you said is important. It's key. Another key piece to the lies and deceptions and half-truths and misleading statements and impeachable offenses that these rat bastards in the Bush crime family have committed over the past 6 years. It's just an astonishing lineup of criminal activity. So, as far as telling Bush, to some degree, I honestly believe that Bush knew everything. He knew about the president's daily briefing, Osama bin Laden, determined to strike in the U.S. You know, he knew everything. He was in on whatever plan was put out there. He was in on it to the extent that his co-conspirators felt they could trust him. Bush is not the smartest man. You know, this guy is really about three cans short of a six-pack. And all the conspirators involved in this, all the neocons, the Dick Cheneys, all these people, they had to be very careful about what they told this moron. But to whatever extent he was included, he was included. Oi! It's a weird program tonight, Kathy. Not the callers or the writers, just me. Something's out of whack tonight. Time for a glass of Cabernet. Thanks for participating tonight, too. Did I say executive producer is Catherine Bay? I think I left you off, didn't I? Oh, my God. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Take care. Keep it lit, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.